Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please read together with me the sermon title for today, Holding Patterns. Based on Deuteronomy 32, this is the Bible text the sermon is based on, the children's message as well. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions. So the Lord alone guided his people. He made them to ride on the high places of the land. Again, our title and theme is Holding Patterns, and I encourage you to follow the sermon outline provided for you in the handout this morning. Now, technically speaking, a holding pattern is a term used to describe being stuck in an airplane that cannot land, but must again and again circle a runway until what's below has been cleared off for landing. Have any of you ever been stuck in a holding pattern? Some years ago now, when I was a seminary student in St. Louis, I'd flown home to Spokane, Washington to spend Christmas time with my parents. Now, the airplane flight from the West Coast back to the Midwest took 4 hours. But when we got near Chicago, the pilot came on the intercom and said, a winter storm had blown in, and we could not land. He said we had to take our turn until conditions changed, and he can put the airplane down. Until then, he said, we're going to be in a holding pattern. Now, I'm glad that our airplane carried extra fuel, because after 4 hours of flying, we were in a holding pattern around over Chicago for 2 hours, around and around. What do you do when you're in a holding pattern? You can only make so much small talk with the people around you. And there weren't enough new magazines for the attendants to pass out for people to read. And airplane peanuts and soda pop only go so far and quenching your queasy stomach going around and around in an airplane. Finally, the pilot announced, well, folks, sorry, we've been rerouted to Minneapolis, where we'll land until Chicago clears up. I looked around at the other passengers around me, and a woman next to me said, this is just like my life. Holding patterns, keeping me from getting to where I want to go. We finally made it back to Chicago that night, and I recall falling to bed, sleeping really soundly, being thankful that my day of holding patterns was over. How do we get out of life's holding patterns? Now, I'm not talking about an airplane ride, but about a condition of life that we face all the time. Life brings us holding patterns, and there seems to be nothing we can do to get out of them. We seem to be blocked from making progress, blocked from going to where we need to go and being who we want to be. How do we get out of life's holding patterns? That's a question Moses must have asked as he looked back of 40 years of wandering in the wilderness with the people of Israel when they left their slavery in Egypt. 40 years, now that's a holding pattern. The children of Israel must have been asking Moses questions like these. Where are we going? Are we there yet? Can we really leave this wilderness to a new life in a so-called promised land? Oh, Moses, maybe we better go back to Egypt. We're not too sure of this promised land business. We might have to change our way of life or our level of trust and faith in God. Come to think of it, we're kind of comfortable, Moses, here in this 40-year holding pattern. For some of you, are you with me this morning? For some of you, your life right now may seem like one continuous holding pattern. Illness, difficulties, relationships, work challenges, responsibilities may seem to never change, but may seem to have you in their grasp. But holding patterns also impede growth in the Christian life. We may ask ourselves, Lord, why do I keep struggling with the same sins, the same old doubts? Why is it taking me so long to become mature in my faith in Christ? Now, we can't blame God for our holding pattern struggles. But we dare not suggest that He cannot use them for our own good. He alone can get us out of the holding patterns. In our text from Deuteronomy chapter 32, listen to what it says. The Lord alone guided His people. He made them ride high over the high places of the land. The Lord loves us where we are. But He doesn't want to leave us there. He wants to kick us out of that nest, out of that comfortable holding pattern. That was the message of Moses at the end of his life. The last address of Moses to the people of God in the wilderness holding pattern gives us an answer to our life's holding patterns. Are you tired of being stuck where you are in your life? Are you tired of life seeming not to make sense? Do you want to change? Do you want to soar on the currents like eagles? We read our text again. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them up in its pinions, the Lord alone guides His people. He makes them to ride on the high places of the land. Looking back at the 40 years in the wilderness, Moses was inspired by God to use the story of the mother eagle training its baby eagles to fly as an illustration of how God deals with His people. Now, note your sermon outline. Comparing God to a mother eagle, Moses tells us three crucial things about God. He is a, would you read it with me? He is a disturber. He is a developer. He is a deliverer. First of all, a disturber. The destiny of the baby eagle is to fly. But the baby eagle does not want to leave the comfort of the nest. So the mama does everything she can to make that nest uncomfortable, for the baby to leave the comfortable holding pattern of the nest. She's a disturber, verse 11 says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest. The Hebrew word for stir up means to agitate, to disturb, to make ready. She makes the nest uncomfortable by pointing the sticks upward with the sharp point pointing upward, so the comfort of the babies is disturbed. So they'll get out of that nest and fly away. The Lord disturbs our nests of comfort. He disturbs our holding patterns in much the same way. In our lives, He may remove the comforts of life as usual. He may create in our hearts a dissatisfaction with our present existence and a desire for something more. Difficulties or tension points in our lives may be used by God to move us out of our homemade nests that seem okay, but which in fact are keeping us from being everything God created us to be. Might you be feeling uncomfortable right now in your life with God? Good, because He may very be well at work to push you out of the holding pattern that's getting you nowhere. Remember, the eagle steers up the nest when it's time for the baby to fly. The Lord is a disturber, but He's also, what's the second word in your outline? He's a developer. Verse 11 says that the eagle flutters over its young. The Hebrew word for flutter here is really a picturesque word. It's a picture of like a hummingbird, or today we would call it a helicopter. This is an active verb. The mother hovers over the nest and gently pushes and nudges the baby to the very edge of that nest. Then she hovers over them, demonstrating her wings to show them that's why God gave you these things. Look at Mama's wings. And if that doesn't work, her hovering becomes even more active as she pushes the baby out of the nest and follows it downward as it quickly has to develop the use of its wings. Our Lord does much the same thing for us. If our uncomfortable nest or holding pattern doesn't rouse us, He may push us to the edge of the nest so that we are compelled to take a leap of faith. What is that for you? Each of us are likely hovering or wavering on the edge of some homemade nest that we know we have to get out of. And let me ask you a very important question. And if you have dozed off, now's the time to come back. If you were sure you could succeed, what would you try? I ask you again. If you were sure that you could succeed, what would you try? Here's another question. What is it that you know the Lord wants you to do, but you've been putting it off? Our Lord wants to help you develop your wings. He is hovering over you so that you would loosen your grasp on the edge of that nest, that holding pattern. He invites you to let go and just watch where He, in His mercy and love for you, will take you. Here in this eagle nest, our Lord is shown to be a, what? Disturber. Secondly, developer. And thirdly, deliverer. Verse 11 says, the eagle spreads out its wings, catching the babies, bearing them on its pinions. Now, we could not dare to take a leap of faith from the nest and the holding pattern if we were not sure of this. The Lord will catch us. He will deliver us. The baby eagle has left the nest and is falling through the air as he's trying to fly. The mother eagle, at just the right moment, swoops down, spreads her large wings, what the text call her pinions, and catches the baby. And this process is repeated over and over again until the baby is capable of flying. What a beautiful image of the way that God treats us. We try and we fall. We try and we mess up. But always is our loving there, Lord, to catch us and to deliver us. And it's interesting, by the way, that the Hebrew verb used for bearing or carrying her young is the same verb used for God bearing or forgiving our sin. When we fall into sin, would God let us fall to our destruction? Would the mother eagle let her baby fall to its destruction? No way. And today, our Lord says to any of us who are falling in our sin, I am your deliverer. Cry to me in your distress, and I will save you. Moses said much the same thing in Deuteronomy 36. Let me read it to you. There is none like the Lord God who rides through the heavens to your deliverance. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath you are his everlasting arms. Isn't this the very nature of God? We see his everlasting arms underneath us on every page of Holy Scripture. After our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, what did God immediately do? His everlasting arms of deliverance were reached out to them as they were hiding. And he went to them and promised them a Savior, a solution for their sin and rebellion. And later, as Galatians 4, verse 4 says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. And that's what we're soon to celebrate at Christmas. And as you look, will you join me? Will you look into that Bethlehem manger? There in that Bethlehem manger, you see two tiny little arms. Two tiny little arms of Jesus, the baby, reaching up to Mother Mary. But make no mistake, those arms that you see are the everlasting arms. Those arms will soon comfort the outcast, feed the hungry, heal the sick, raise the dead, and those everlasting arms will then carry a cross, be nailed to that cross, die upon a cross, to pay for our sins, to be our Savior. And those arms, those everlasting arms, are reaching out to you today. As you are in any of your various and personal holding patterns, what could your life be like out of the holding pattern? It's God's desire that you just don't survive, that you just don't get by, that you count your days existing. Baby eagle, you were made to fly. Jesus says to you in John 10, verse 10, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Now he says the same thing to us as Trinity Lutheran Church. You know, as important as Sunday worship is, we are meant for so much more than just the 75 minutes we gather once a week on Sunday morning. There is a bigger reason God has made us a community and a Christian congregation in this place. He wants to push us out of our comfortable nest and holding patterns to be his people who serve our community, who reach out to our community, who love our community outside the comfortable nest of these four walls. And guess what? How our congregation could be completely transformed if each of us, am I talking to you? Yes, I am. Am I talking to myself? You better believe it. How our congregation could be transformed if each of us individually would set aside our personal list of, well, here's what I want from the church. Instead, let us pray, dear Lord, show me how I can move out of my comfortable nest of I wants, out of my self-centered holding pattern, into your brand new future. Well, what God said to Moses, and Moses said to the people of Israel, we are told today, one more time, hear the text. Like an eagle that stirs up its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them in its pinions, so the Lord alone has guided his people. He makes them to ride high on the high places of the land. We trust you, O Lord, as individuals and as a congregation. And we look forward, dear Lord, for you getting us out of the holding pattern and into the future that you desire for us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.